What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf. Thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Sarah Masson, the Brazil correspondent for The Economist magazine, reporting on Bolivia 66 to 250 million years ago. I envy Sarah her experience traveling to Bolivia, traveling to what appears to be a stone wall with footprints in it, carved in it many, many millions of years ago by a dinosaur. There are three toes. However, the mystery here is not obvious. We see where the dinosaur was, but we're looking for the dinosaur itself. Sarah, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. Your first experience with this wall of footprints, what did you think? What did you imagine happened the day that the dinosaur wandered past? Good day to you.
Well, it's really good to be here. The first thing that's weird about this wall is that, you know, if you look at it, it looks like the dinosaur just kind of climbed straight up a vertical. But what I was told by dinosaur experts is that because of the shifting of tectonic plates, what used to be the ground is now an almost vertical wall that was exposed in a limestone quarry. And only in the past couple of decades, they've realized that these marks on the wall actually are dinosaur footprints. It's incredible. There are thousands of them.
You tell a wonderful story of a young man when he was a child. His grandfather told him those were a monster footprints, and the monster was so powerful he could dent into stone. And the young man believed it. It's a magical story. I like that story much better than dinosaurs. But let's get to the mystery. Where are the bones, Sarah? What explains this? Missing bones.
Yeah, so the guy, Mario Haldin, who has now become a tour guide in a different part of Bolivia that also has dinosaur footprints, he also believes that somewhere under there, there's got to be dinosaur bones. But even though they've got thousands of prints in different places in Bolivia, unlike other countries in South America like Brazil and Chile and Argentina, they haven't turned up skeletons. And what I found out when I went to these sites and spoke to paleontologists is that there are both natural and very human reasons for this discrepancy.
The natural reason has to do with the fact that it's been a long time, 250 million years. And if you'll recall, the tectonic plates, the larger story of all the land masses pulling apart and coming together again, mean that this part of the Andes, was this a seashore, Sarah? Did they tell you that the dinosaurs were walking on the beach in what is now Bolivia?
Yeah, so there's a few different elements here. So actually, the fact that the tectonic plates shifted means that it's more likely for these bones to be found, because the shifting of tectonic plates pulls up these layers from millions and millions and millions of years ago. But then other factors come in. So in Torotoro, which is where the tour guide as a little boy had his grandfather telling him that the prints belonged to a monster, experts believe that this used to be a sort of alkaline, heavy lake. And so the prints were actually on the shore of that prehistoric lake. And shores like that are really good for preserving footprints, but not necessarily for preserving bones, because the bones can get swept away or can disintegrate. And then there are sort of other factors, including the fact that rock from the Mesozoic era, which is when dinosaurs lived, is actually really scarce in Bolivia and tends to be in hard-to-reach areas like places that are heavily forested.
So what we have here is bones. We just have to find them because of the tectonic plates. But there's a secondary story here that's probably primary, paleontology in Bolivia, paleontology in South America in general, but paleontology in Bolivia is not much practiced because there's a lack of what I would take as support, government support or university support. How is it presented, Sarah, and what is the road ahead? What have other countries done?
Yeah, so these obstacles in finding dinosaur bones are true everywhere, and paleontologists in other countries have found ways to overcome them. The problem in Bolivia is that it's South America's poorest country after Venezuela, and it really has very few paleontologists and not a lot of money for science in general. And, you know, one paleontologist I spoke to from the Natural History Museum in New York said, it's pretty simple. The lower the intensity of exploration, the lower the chance of finding fossils. If you don't look, you're not going to find anything. And in Bolivia, they're really not looking. They've had experts come and do some really incredible work about the footprints and identify even the kinds of dinosaurs, that some of them were sauropods, the ones with long necks, and other ones were ankylosaurs with spikes and theropods who walked on two legs. But what they haven't done is a really kind of detailed mapping out where the Mesozoic rock is and how they could prospect it. And that really comes down to the fact that they don't have science councils, you know, that distribute government money for research. There aren't university degrees in paleontology or specializations the way that there are in Argentina now after they, you know, found the first findings many years ago. And so without that kind of nurturing of paleontological talent, what you have in Bolivia is a lot of really dedicated amateur paleontologists and even professionals who work in my museums and even professionals who work in museums or historically have worked for oil and mining companies, but they just don't have the time or the funding to be going out and doing lots of digs.
The Dinosaur Highway, it's a magical term, Sarah. The Dinosaur Highway extends through several countries. You were at two sites, well-marked sites. Does this attract tourists? Do people come to see the Dinosaur Highway?
So it's really cool. It does seem like, at least locally, people are starting to be aware of the riches that they have in these dinosaur footprints and also in the bones that they found from other kinds of species, like mastodons and ancient relatives of armadillos and all sorts of other cool stuff that they found. Toro Toro, where Mario Haldin, the guide, was from, has actually become Bolivia's most popular national park. And before the pandemic, you know, tens of thousands of people were going and visiting. All these little hotels have cropped up. Scores of people from the local community have educated themselves and become guides. And so there is this knowledge and hunger for more knowledge. And people who work there are really hoping that that at some point will translate into government interest or, you know, interest from international community helpers who could fund more digs.
All right, to walk with the dinosaurs. We've all been in the pandemic for a year and a half, Sarah. You're going to have to guide us. I'm starting in London. I'm starting in New York. I'm starting in Los Angeles. How do I reach Toro Toro, which means a lot of mud? What's the best way to get there? Where do you fly in?
So if you want to go to Toro Toro, you'll first have to fly to one of the big cities in Bolivia, like La Paz or Santa Cruz. And then it's just a short flight to Cochabamba, a beautiful city, and then a sort of meandering van ride up the cliffs in the Bolivian Andes, in through canyons and just beautiful colors. And you get to the village of Toro Toro. There's lots of lovely guest houses there. And then you can find a guide to take you in and explore and see the dinosaur footprints and the canyons and these really cool ancient rock formations. It's a magical place. And I think that it's a place that really everyone should have a chance to go to. I would really recommend it.
Sarah Maslin is the economist correspondent for Brazil, but reporting on the Dinosaur Highway of Bolivia, Chile, Brazil, and Argentina. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway.
Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.